Ellen DeGeneres, Larry King, and James Lipton. What?
Larry King?
No, this is like...
Are you kidding?
There's a very clear...
James Lipton's actually on there.
Yeah, James Lipton's number 10.
What are they what even weird, doing at this point?
Well, Larry King's pretty bangable.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, Grey, hot.
Hello, and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show that you've ever watched. My name's Morgan, and this is a podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series, and then the very last episode of that TV series, and just try and figure out why said TV series was made. Joining me to do this is the anchor that gives my spirit strength to soar, Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm well. You're not going to do it in the Steven Seagal voice? No, that's Steven Seagal. Sly Stallone. I confuse the two all the time.
Oh, it's great.
No.
You are the anchor that gives my spirit strength.
You are the anchor that...
What is that from?
It's a Family Guy quote.
Yeah.
No, I don't come up with anything.
It's pretty deep. You should know this. Yeah. Morgan's...
Very shallow.
He's basically just a slightly more intelligent parrot.
Making
just repeats lines that he's heard before.
Making fun of somebody else.
I have to say, Jay, that's the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
You're welcome.
Oh, well. Also joining me, have you missed an episode before? I don't think you have.
I've never missed an episode.
Scott.
I'm like the Wayne Gretzky of this podcast. Is that a thing?
No. Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah.
Has he never missed a game?
He's played every single NHL game ever.
Yep.
Okay. Even the ones that for the teams that he's not playing, other teams?
He just show up.
It's amazing.
He just get on the ice for a little bit.
Mm. He does not care about the rules.
It was really hard, but he did it. So,
So that's me.
The Wayne Gretzky. And also, we have a very special guest on this episode of TIS. Welcome, George.
Hello, Morgan.
It's a pleasure to have you. This is a real change of makeup. There's a bit of diversity in this group.
Yeah. We can just call her New Aaron.
That's probably going to be easier for me.
Yeah.
As you know, I am just basically a parrot retrained. So you should know that early, George, that I will just repeat things.
Okay. Good to know.
I won't have to repeat that.
Second ever guest.
So Benoit being the first one.
Benoit, that was quite a while ago. Yeah. That was over a year ago.
Unless you count Aaron. Because we started as a trio and then... So Aaron's kind of just like a recurring guest.
Oh, yeah. Sort of muscled his way in.
Yeah.
So on the Wikipedia page where it's like main stars, recurring guests.
Yeah.
And then like novelty guests.
Yeah.
He's in recurring guests.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, George is like, George is like the George Clooney of the podcast. Pops up for a couple of episodes, you know.
And the only woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like George Clooney in Roseanne.
Exactly like George Clooney in Roseanne. Speaking of Roseanne, so George, this is actually your suggestion. So, and I'm really glad you actually put it forward because I think this is a show we probably would have eventually gotten to, but it had a little bit more depth to it than I anticipated. So what kind of drove you to push us? Yeah, that'll work. To watch Roseanne.
Well, I had not seen Roseanne before until a few years ago when I read an article about it. So I just thought I'd bring a bit of intellect to the TIS podcast.
Ouch.
And you chose the comedy stylings of Roseanne Barr.
Yes.
Yeah, naturally.
It's not your typical, family sitcom.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
It's very interesting.
Which really surprised me. I don't know about you guys, but the first episode was probably a little bit more run-of-the-mill, but the last two all different altogether, but we'll get to that down the line. I was genuinely sort of blown away by those last two episodes, but that first one, I just don't understand how people... Like, she was a comedian before she was a TV actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a good number of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty well-established comedian. Surprising.
Really?
Yeah.
I must admit, I don't know about you guys, but normally, like when we've watched sitcoms like this, Two Broke Girls, Home Improvement, I think is a really good comparison. You kind of get two or three laughs.
Yeah.
Got nothing here.
There's a lot of jokes. Yeah. But yeah.
Not a lot.
You didn't get any laughs in the first episode?
None landed at all.
Wow.
John Goodman's provided a little bit of comic relief in a comedy, which doesn't really make much sense, but yeah, it had some moments, I guess.
That's just called relief.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess. Some relief from Roseanne's shrill voice.
Oh, man. I had a lot of difficulty with her laugh in the opening credits. Anyone else?
It felt kind
Did
of
have
out
graphic.
Of place, didn't it?
I think we've got a clip of the laugh.
Do you have a clip? Oh,
yeah. That,
why did you?
No,
I knew that was going to happen.
Her laugh in the opening credits.
Yeah.
Like, whose idea was that to put that in the intro? Like, oh, it's a comedy, so we've got to inform
Probably
people
hers.
That it's a comedy.
I would say
it's
definitely hers. Mm. I'd say it's definitely Roseanne Barr's idea.
I'm running the ship. put my laugh in the intro.
What about you guys? What did you guys know about Roseanne before we made a foray into this?
I knew that it was regarded by, probably more recently, by a lot of sort of cultural critics as a really significant TV show for reasons we will get into in this podcast. That's really it. And I think I would like to add that I suggested this before I knew that Roseanne...
I think a disclaimer should be put on that. This George, you featuring in this podcast has been about a 6-7 month project that we've been trying to get off the ground.
Before Roseanne fell off the deep end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Before her life became a flaming dumpster fire that it is now. Flaming dumpster fire? Really, just unnecessary words to describe things. But still, continue.
I had a look into her Wikipedia page. Yeah. It's a kind of in-depth analysis that I do before one of these shows. And I think she had some incidents prior to that. There was there was a magazine shoot that she did for like a comedy magazine where she like dressed up as a Nazi.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's in bad taste.
Classic comedy.
Isn't she Jewish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it was, I don't know. It's hard to spin dressing up as a Nazi as satire anymore. People just don't really.
Kind of can't get around it.
What's to be gained?
But I mean, you know, Prince Harry's done it and the public forgave him. So, you know. Mm.
Have you seen the video of Roseanne Barr singing the national anthem at like some football game?
Yes.
I feel like yes.
So bad. I've never seen someone get booed so heavily.
Is she a singer?
No, she's not. It seems weird that they asked her to.
Ironic.
Like, yeah, I think it was meant to be ironic.
It's just borderline treasonous is what that sounds.
Yeah, it sounds
like
very is. Not very patriotic.
No.
Good thing Americans don't take their national anthem too seriously.
Of course not.
So
no.
I'm sure they wouldn't have been offended.
No. She's lucky she got out of that stadium alive based on the boos that were being hurled at her from the stands. But look, okay, we should probably get into episode one and start breaking down the series that was Roseanne.
Roseanne follows a lower class family of five as they work their way through a typical middle American life. Roseanne has to deal with her daughter Becky breaking her backpack.
I just bought it yesterday.
Mom, please, you gotta take it back.
Her son DJ stealing blueberry pie.
Nope.
Not even a nibble?
Nope.
Her other daughter, Darlene, barking like a dog.
If I don't bark, I'll fall asleep. Mom!
And her useless husband drinking instead of working for a wage.
So you had like the whole day off?
No, I didn't have the whole day off. I was busy making contacts.
Despite an appearance from George Clooney, the episode is largely uneventful and finishes with Roseanne and Dan coming together to help Darlene when she injures herself.
Okay, bub, you're all finished.
I am?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't even feel it.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, thanks.
Right before the credits roll, Dan and Roseanne embrace on Dan's half-built boat, on the verge of getting it on.
Yeah, let's do it.
What about the sink?
Anywhere you want.
Wholesome. Good family building. Pilot, you know, showing the dynamic of a loving husband and wife who are just battling through middle classdom. Middle classdom, probably a peg below that.
They're definitely not middle class. No. Well, that's the whole point of the show.
Okay, so
she works in a fucking factory.
Yeah, but their house is really fucking big.
Well, you know, it's like they're in like middle America.
They're like the outskirts of Chicago. It's like having a big house in Tarnate.
$4,000 house. Well, not to offend anyone who might live in Tarnate.
Of course not.
it's a very nice place.
Yeah, it's lovely. We're actually recording from
Tarnate. It's probably where we're going to end up living.
Tarnate, Australia's crud bucket.
That's their slogan. We didn't come up with it.
No.
They labelled themselves that.
The crud bucket capital of the world. Anyway.
But it's a big house.
True, but it's like, as we said, it's like outer part of the
oh, they're big
US
people.
Their washing machine is outside.
That is indicative.
That's low class is what that is. What the thing I found most dated about this pilot was the fact that she worked in a factory. There's no manufacturing jobs in the US
anymore.
With
a whistle. They got the factory whistle going. I wish that my workplace had a whistle for 9 o'clock when you start or 7 or whenever you start.
I very much enjoyed all the Roseanne manufacturing break room banter between all the girls.
Why are they all women as well?
I don't know. Maybe they're at war.
I mean, I knew that. That's what I was going to say. I knew a lot of women worked in factories during wartime. But
I don't know if she's actually on the like factory floor. She works like in...
What are they doing there? I couldn't quite tell.
Plastics. Manufacturing plastics.
For what?
I don't know.
Just plastics.
Right. Randy Scott, plastic everywhere.
And I love just buying plastic.
And John Goodman's some sort of contractor?
Yeah.
I think he just drinks beers with his mates and works on cars.
Bludger, yeah. I think is the official term. Mm.
John Goodman is so well cast in this show. Like, yeah. I could not picture anyone else playing Roseanne Barr's husband in some sort of... But in this show...
What about... Earl from Dinosaurs.
In
the dinosaur outfit.
That would be a close second.
Yeah.
they both auditioned in Earl.
But Goodman beat him out purely.
They liked him though, so he comes back as like Goodman's brother in one episode, I think. Yeah.
But Goodman beat him out purely in the fact that he is of the same species as Roseanne.
Yeah.
That's the only reason though.
Yeah, yeah. It's more believable.
Exactly.
The auditioning process was like how many beers they could pound in an hour. And John Goodman came out on top.
Yeah, very close. Just drank the Earl the Dinosaur under the table.
Would it have worked if you switched George Clooney's character, who was the factory foreman, with John Goodman's character?
Are you asking if George Clooney's got the range to play like a 200-kilo male?
Yeah.
I think Goodman's got the range to pull off Brooks, was the name?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think you could... Mm. I don't think inserting George Clooney in as Dan...
Wouldn't be as believable.
I don't think it's going to work.
Oh, God. He still is, but... What a handsome man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got the long hair.
I think he was too handsome. It like takes you out of the bubble.
I think he could have... Those eyebrows were pretty untamed at that point.
Yeah, but that was kind of...
Like, almost confused me.
That was his style at the time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is true. I almost didn't recognize him.
Don't you think it kind of...
You weren't born in the 80s, so you wouldn't understand.
It jerks you out of the immersion.
But at the time, he wouldn't have been that famous. That wouldn't have been.
It's not about his level of fame. It's the level of handsomeness.
Yeah. Well, handsome people can work in factories, Jeremy.
I guess so.
Clooney didn't become A-list until like 95.
Okay.
Just so the time frame's
different. This is like ER.
He's a recurring character. He's a guest on, like a minor guest part on Roseanne.
Is he like a high D?
He's there for the whole first season, I'm pretty sure.
What's that?
High D, low C maybe?
I'd say middling D.
Okay.
Like, you know. Role player off the bench.
DD plus, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think though, Jeremy, you described the show as wholesome.
I don't think it was wholesome.
I don't think it was either. Yeah. And I think it's like quite the portrayal of their marriage is like, you wouldn't say gritty, but...
It's rough around the edges.
Yeah. Mm. Like she calls him out for just being... Like normally in sitcoms when the wife's complaining about the husband, it's a bit of a like eye roll, everyone has a laugh. But she's actually saying like... You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You got to pull your head in.
Pull your weight.
No, you're right.
Wholesome
is
probably the
wrong word. That back end 5 minutes, like the first like 10, 12 minutes, it's all tongue in cheek and he's just drinking a beer. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm. Well, actually, the times are always really ambiguous.
Yeah,
I
can never work it out.
Yeah. But I mean, if you've watched any American sitcom from the 90s, they're all really hard to follow. Like,
yeah.
Friends.
They seem to do
a lot in the morning.
Yeah.
Like breakfast seems to go for like 6 hours.
Oh, it's crazy.
And because they want like one lighting setup.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, it's just morning now. Oh, it's just nighttime.
But it's all tongue in cheek until then he comes back and he's been hanging out, didn't get the job, and Roseanne's had everything heaped on her. I'd say she's probably more mad about her hair than anything else. That hairstyle is horrendous. But
it's better than the last episode. The curls are so much better. I like the limpness of the
I like the soul glow.
The what?
Soul glow.
Soul glow.
You know, from Coming to America.
Great. No, that's all I can think about.
Let yourself. People want to watch Coming to America.
Exactly. This is a podcast about Roseanne, not Coming to America. But yeah, that last sort of 5-6 minutes when things start to, rear their head a little bit in as dark as that show can get. I mean, sitcoms kind of only have a really, like they can only get so dark in terms of like the aesthetics of the show. But they have that argument and then, the handhold when they fix Darlene's hand and...
Which is the only thing that they... Like, the only problem that they solve in the show. All the other kids' problems are just like...
Oh, they get the backpack.
The kid, like, eats the pie and it's just like, oh, are you grounded? And that's it.
Mom.
What?
Can I go over
to Billy's?
No, you can't go. No place for the rest of your life.
The other kid's like barking in class, and it's like, oh, well, don't. Like, they do not solve.
Yeah, but I
like a family sitcom like this, they usually by the end they have some sort of like,
I think that's
they'll wrap it up and then teach the kids something. But in this, they're like, they're just too busy. They got too much shit going on.
But I think that's what's good about it. I think that's the fact that they are like, you know, two working parents, three kids, not a lot of money. Like, they just can't solve all these problems. Mm. Like, it's just there's some things that is like, not beyond their control, but like, that doesn't have the time.
Mm.
So, you know.
You got 22 minutes.
I actually thought it was, you can't solve it in 22 minutes. But I think that's probably one of the good aspects of the show, which is why I was actually genuinely surprised. I'm like, oh, I can see why this is appealing. What I didn't like is that I didn't find it grating, but I didn't find it very funny, which was Roseanne Barr.
No.
And like, that's a problem because...
The show's called Roseanne?
It's literally about her.
But secondly, all of the things that are brought up just serve the jokes. Like, nothing that is brought up comes into... Like, for example, when like co-workers talking about that like seminar where like, you know, you envisage what you want. It's like a pre-date, like the secret sort of thing.
He teaches you how to tap into the hidden treasures of your unconscious mind.
He does, huh?
Yeah, it's so simple. He goes, if your mind can conceive it and your heart can believe it, then you can achieve it.
You think it's just, you think it's going to come back in like some point, like, oh, well, like she's going to go to this thing or like the friend's going to go and then something, but it's all just there to serve just like Roseanne's joke. Like, and then they're just like, oh, now we're out. And like, that's it.
Mm.
None of the things in the plot come, like, they don't really come back around.
They're all just setups for her jokes.
They're just jokes. It's just...
Yep.
Yeah. Which I guess makes sense, but...
I noticed maybe 3 or 4 times that she made a joke about killing her kids. Which, like, you know, the first couple, you're like, huh, yeah, having kids is tough. And then by third or fourth, if you were one of the kids, you'd be like, huh. Really, Mum, going to do this again?
Skin I think that's realistic, though. I think most parents do want to kill their children.
Yeah, but oh, like not even just say it, but want to do it.
Yeah.
Do you say it in front of them?
Yeah, I think so.
They're talking about change, like sending them off to school and then changing the locks so they can't get back in. It's brutal. What, did you just leave them outside to fend for themselves in the suburbs of Chicago, one of the most violent cities in America?
Can't coddle your kids, Jez.
You can't, that's true. You got to let them fly at some point. You got to give them space to grow as humans.
I just wanted to go back to when you were talking about every plot device really serves...
it's just joke.
Roseanne's jokes. And it just reminded me of an episode we did a little bit earlier. And I can't for the life of me remember which one now. I think it was The Nanny, where they just kind of kept pushing jokes in front of her and she kept firing them out and they were just really shit consistently.
You can see the setups.
Yeah, I think this happens... I think, and this definitely happened with Rules of Engagement was like this as well, where they just kept pushing jokes in front of David Spade and like he just be, like didn't matter how bad they were.
Yeah, just foul ball every time.
just constant. Just
coming off the side of his bat.
He's running like zero, 0% under the ring, just rimming things out. But like this was my issue with the show is that, a lot of the jokes, as you said, were set up for her and none of them really ever fell flat. And it was all about, you know, killing the kids and,
killing the kids.
We have other things we can talk about, which is why I was sort of genuinely surprised that I didn't despise the show, is because I think the actual, like the real meat of it, which was more about the family struggles and how things don't always work, I think that was the most interesting part.
Mm.
So I think this show almost works better as a drama than it does comedy, but this show wouldn't have ever worked as a drama because it's a 20-minute sitcom.
Sort of like... Just to foreshadow, it sort of leans into the ending because it's not a funny ending.
No. It's exceptionally dark ending.
Mm. I think that's just a common trait of sitcom pilots is that they've got to try and pack as much in as possible in the 22 minutes to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know how famous she was in the late 80s. I'm assuming famous enough to have a show named after her.
Hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe that was their selling point was we're going to just... People love her humor, so we're just going to give her as much time as possible to just tell jokes, regardless of whether or not it fits into the plot.
Mm. So like she they took one of her stand-up sets and then just tried to craft a story around
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Reverse engineer.
I don't know about her stand-up. I'm assuming it's got a lot to do with family.
Mm. I've never seen it. Because obviously the show, like it's like Seinfeld, like you know how his show's based off loosely based on his life. I'd say it's probably the same.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Mm.
Yeah, so loosely based off their lives and you know what their comedy style is.
Have we not done that?
That's a good question.
Probably seen too much of it.
No, I haven't. I've barely seen it.
I mean, I've caught bits and bobs. But anyway, that's we're getting sidetracked here. But yeah, that seems like it's right in our wheelhouse.
Oh, massively.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
let's just stay on the matter at hand, and that is Roseanne.
I think one thing really occurred to me watching this, and it's kind of stating the obvious, but how rare it is to see an American sitcom where the family are working class, but like the house is shit. They look kind of shitty.
That is just shit.
Absolutely rare.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, kids are a bit ratty.
Kids are a bit ratty. Yeah, mum and dad are exceptionally out of
every
shape.
Every sitcom, no matter what the parents do, the house is immaculate.
Yeah.
Really nice. Everyone looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
That is a good point.
That's the difference, I think, between Australian TV and probably British TV, similar, and American. Like, Americans are not interested in watching working class people on TV.
It's not.
But UK, a little bit more.
I think so.
And Australia as well. I mean, I think we've sort of brought this up, but I've sort of mentioned this before, especially with Pack of the Rafters, that Australian TV tends to work in really broad strokes because there's such a limited audience. So you've got to get as much as you can out of one thing. Whereas America, the US, because the audiences are so wide, you kind of can make these real niche programs.
Yeah.
And then so that appeal to certain people. And that's, I'm assuming probably that's what this started out as, just appealing to a really limited demographic. But that, you know, if it really, really works, you really hit it.
Resonated with a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of really strong sitcoms from the 90s that have, you know, 10, 9, 10, 12 seasons that, you know, that come out of them, which doesn't really happen now.
No.
I mean, except what's that? Modern Family. How long has that been? That's been going. I feel like
that's been going forever. That's a farewell now.
50 years or something.
That'd be close to 10.
That's when they started in the 60s.
They started in the 60s.
Wow.
Yeah. It used to be called The Sullivans. No, I don't know. And we should also mention that we are not doing the 10th season of Roseanne.
No,
there was a 10th season that was made last year and then promptly cancelled after.
No, it wasn't technically cancelled. They killed her off and changed it to The Connors.
Oh, so
and it's just about the rest of the family now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, like currently?
Yeah, it's still on.
It's on. She died of a drug overdose, apparently, in the show.
Wow.
No, wait, like
prescription drugs, I think.
Like that somebody just said there was a scene with her.
I don't reckon, because it all would have happened after she got sacked.
Yeah.
So they would have had to kill her off screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. How unsatisfying.
And you can't, a 7 o'clock, you know, weeknight sitcom, you can't really show a drug overdose.
Okay, it was a prescription.
I think that's what happened.
They're the safe drugs.
Watch her convulsing and frothing at the mouth.
That's fine.
In a bathroom.
Slips into a deep sleep.
I watched the interview with John Goodman, just a clip where I was just flicking through YouTube about all this Roseanne stuff. And he was like, he's probably one of the few people I've seen sort of, not defend her, but he kind of said that he was like, oh, you know, it was really sad. Like, she's my friend and, you know, she's off. But she sort of really pushed, she apparently really advocated to keep the show going, like wanted to keep it going even though she couldn't be in it anymore.
Oh, right.
I guess so many other people depend on the show.
More or less. And that's what Goodman alluded to. He says, like, it's, you know, livelihood for a lot of people. She really pushed to keep it going. And like, he's like, I've not heard anyone else defend her.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, her position's essentially indefensible.
And you just can't afford to. Like, that's just their careers. Like, I'm surprised John Goodman even did that.
Well, I'm surprised John Goodman even
his agent would just be like, no
this is
just get out. Absolutely. Let's get out.
I'm surprised he went back to Roseanne.
I mean,
But he's in some pretty good stuff.
No, he doesn't need. I mean, he's a pretty well established actor.
He doesn't need to do Roseanne. He doesn't. So clearly, he's got a personal investment.
Well, that's
in the
thing. That's what he said. Is that like going back to the show when they renewed it as Roseanne and it started out? Like, apparently, like from what he sort of alluded to in the interview is like it was like the family's back together. You know, we grew up with these kids that grew up with us, and we did all this stuff. This was a 10-year show, and it's good to get back. Like, you know, really enjoyed getting back. It's sad the way it kind of went down. But just watching that first episode alone, you can see why Trump completely tied himself. Like, oh, this is a great representation of, you know, the small town US that's underrepresented within the country now.
Wait, what do you mean? When did Trump tie himself to Roseanne?
No, he was massive advocate of this show, and especially getting rebooted.
Okay, I didn't realize that, but I was gonna bring that up later and say how you could see this being revived now as some sort of almost Trump propaganda of this is how tough it is for middle America. You need a president that's going to look after your interests.
Which is true. If he was a president that cared about middle America.
Yeah.
But ultimately, her demise was just, I still enjoy her blaming the Ambien for the whole issue.
I have not heard
everyone
about this.
Everyone blames that.
Yeah.
Is that a common defense?
Yep.
Yeah. I was on.
Isn't that what Grant Hackett was on when he went berserk and trashed it?
Yeah, I think so.
That's Still Knox. I'm getting confused. Oh,
yeah. Well, no, oh, I know. Right.
Still Knox.
Yeah. But
are they all sleeping tablets? No.
I think so. Ambien's like a sedative or something like that, I think.
Right.
But yeah, she just, I mean, you know the story.
She tweeted on Ambien.
Yeah. But she's like, and she came out and apologized, like, deleted the tweet, said she was on Ambien, and then Ambien came out and said, oh, side effects don't include racism. it's kind of true. Like,
ouch.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Is that the first time?
I mean, it's her scrambling to try and save face.
Maybe you're
a bit disinhibited.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not thinking straight.
But
so
you obviously still have those thoughts.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. It's not that it makes you think those thoughts. It makes your filter maybe sort of soften a little bit. So you think it's okay to tweet your deepest, darkest thoughts out.
But yeah, look, honestly, we could just keep harping on about the wreckage of Roseanne Barr's career, but we will allude to that. We will get
to that. It's going to be hard to get around.
Let's jump and
push forward.
We do. We got a finale we need to sort of cap off.
It's not just a finale, one of the great, most controversial finales of all time.
I'm very much looking forward to this.
Get excited.
The finale of Roseanne is a doozy, with a cast of characters wider than the target demographic for the show. In the past season, they've won the lottery, a nice moment after Dan's apparent heart attack. Darlene and her partner are bringing back their baby to the Connor residence to stay for a while, and the whole family gets involved to welcome them back.
Wow, that sounds so great. Say it again, Dan, louder.
Roseanne and Dan's granddaughter is coming home today. Let's get ready to rumble!
With a bit of family tension, the episode resolves itself with Roseanne revealing that we are in fact watching her imaginative version of how she wished her family were, with multiple characters having swapped sexual orientations, partners, and her husband Dan not having died from the previous heart attack.
It's still the first thing I think about when I wake up and the last thing I think about before I go to sleep. I miss him.
They never won the lottery, and it was all in Roseanne's head.
I think I'll be a lot better now that this book is done.
And the show finally ends in the most somber way possible.
It was a lot darker. I mean, I knew that darkness was coming, but oh man,
that last 10 minutes
is just really brutal when it all starts to unravel. Like, it's so depressing.
The darkness is coming for all of us, Morgs.
Wow, we're all slowly crawling to death, aren't we? Just like the Golden Girls.
Except for one of them.
Yeah,
Betty White. Betty White.
She's immortal.
Yeah, she's immortal. Before we get to the controversial ending,
mm-hmm.
Becky changes character. Oh, sorry, changes actress.
Mm.
The character does. But it wasn't your traditional halfway through they just changed actress. They swapped back and forth multiple times.
Multiple times, yeah. It happened like throughout the seasons.
And so, like an understudy.
And when I watched the Connors the other day, the original Becky is back.
What?
So is she the one who's played by Sarah Chalke?
Yeah. So it starts with the original actress, whatever her name is, for about the first five seasons. Switches to Sarah Chalke for about two. Switches back to the original actress for one, and then back to Sarah Chalke.
Is there some sort of dispute, or what's the deal?
Yeah,
one of them, the original actress went away because she wanted to go to college, and then she came back, and then she left again, but now she's back in the.
Yeah.
So that's
Sarah Chalke played another role in the show within the same universe as well.
So was this like Doctor Who? What the fuck?
I mean,
can't just do that.
The thing is, I understand when you
can and will Scott.
Like, if you watch,
who are you to stop them?
I've watched. Good point. You can watch I know we talked about this off air, but I've watched a lot of Stargate where I've seen the same guest star who will play a role in season one. He'll reappear as someone else in like season seven.
I hate that.
I'm not a huge fan of it either.
You can do it with a guest star.
Yeah. And if they play like a middling role, but you can't do it with a key cast member that you bring him in and out and change this.
There's not enough actors in Hollywood.
There's only one other example of this happening, and that is the Lethal Weapon episode of It's Always Sunny. Where they switch roles halfway through. Otherwise, John Goodman can't just suddenly be Roseanne's brother and then they bring someone else in for John Goodman. Like, you can't. It doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, they did it. It's so funny. The thing is,
the show was successful despite that.
We're all still here.
Watching it, like, from the way we do it, we watch first and last, it's not that jarring. But when you go back and realize that they interchange, you're like, that is insanity. You can't. It seems. Like, don't let the other girl come back. She's out. She's done. Like, you know, it's just like you could hire someone else and just keep them permanently. But I don't know. Clearly, Roseanne Barr must have had some sort of affinity for the former actor, which is why she probably pushed to get her back in.
Well,
and then when
poor
she left,
Sarah Chalk. Like, you think you got a gig. Yeah. It's like you're out.
Nah, seasons. Nah, sorry.
Yeah.
She did all right.
We didn't like you
She's
that
in Rick
much.
And Morty now.
Yeah, exactly. She was in Rick and Morty now. She was in Scrubs.
Yeah.
She had a reasonable career.
Very reasonable.
That entire last season. So I did some reading. I know we're supposed to talk about the episode, but I'm just going to dive straight back. I did some IMDb digging, as I love to do. So that last season of Roseanne, it seems pretty insane. Like, really.
Oh, just.
Yeah, like
they
are.
What stuff they do?
All over the shop. There's an episode where the factory. So, because I think.
Do they do like a Lars von Trier style episode and just remove all the sets? And it's just.
I don't think he's got that wacky, but like, I know. Damn. I think this whole season is centered around her winning the lottery, but not real, but not really turns out to all in the book. But so they just get a little bit really, they take a bit of license with it. There's an episode called Rosambo where she literally, like, it has a whopping 2.8 on IMDb.
Morgs, I was going to bring this up.
You were?
Yeah, that's right. Go.
I apologize. Go. Yeah, it has a 2.8, but basically, she they get on a train and terrorists take over the train. She's got to take them down.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, 2.8. We need to see some of this. So it's like, so it's Rambo is the idea.
Well, I haven't seen the episode. I actually looked, it is available on YouTube. So I plan on following it up and doing a little bit more research. I ran out of time this summer, but we're just going to watch it. I just am intrigued. But Jeremy, you have something to add to Rosambo?
Oh yeah, only because I was looking through lists for this show and for whatever reason, there was a Steven Seagal's top 50 movies came up on this and he's in Rosambo.
Steven Seagal is in Rosambo.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrific.
That's bizarre.
One thing I was going to discuss was the two boyfriends are brothers. Is that right? They're both Healy?
That, I think so.
Mark and David.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that.
No, I didn't either.
But they do the old switcheroo.
Yeah, when she's recapping at the end when she's saying the whole last season essentially was fictitious.
Yeah.
That in her mind she switched the characters
because she thought they suited. Yeah.
When Darlene met Mark, I thought he went better with Becky, but I still think they'd be more compatible the other way around. So, in my writing, I did what any good mother would do. I fixed it.
It was all stupid, but that was really stupid.
Yeah, that's so selfish. Like, it's like, it's not your life.
That's yeah, it is.
It just proves that, like, the show's just supposed to be about her. And she's like, it's not really about anybody else. It's just about me and what I think.
And on that monologue, where's this split? Where does it go from,
like, when
real
is it
Roseanne
real
fans?
Life? Yeah. I would have assumed it's the last season.
The lottery.
And I think Dan must actually have a heart attack.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
survives,
but so I guess it's like all.
Does he have the heart attack post lottery?
I think this is a Lost style structure where the last season is like that's the one that's been kind of like rewritten in a way.
Looking at the IMDb ratings.
Thanks for ruining Lost for me, Scott.
It's better when you know the ending.
There's
studies have shown.
There's looking through that last season IMDb. There's a lot of like low rated episodes, like really low. Yeah. So they took a bit of license in that last one just to do some, things like Rosambo, which obviously,
very well received.
Yeah, clearly. But
first ever TV episode to be nominated for an Oscar.
That one.
Really?
Yeah. They were like, fuck the
obviously
categories.
Not. I don't know why you had me going there for a second. Jesus. Not enough coffee today. That's clearly an issue. No, I'm pretty sure that, Dan did have the... Because I remember reading a little bit about this a while ago. Dan did have the... I think it's in the last season he had the heart attack. And then they... I think that was going to be the end. And then, like a lot of shows, they brought it back for a final season. But
did... Was it coincide with John Goodman maybe actually having a heart attack? Because that wouldn't surprise me that much.
he's
very large in that
last
season.
In that last season, he's quite large. He's put a bit
They almost try to like slim him down with like the way that he's like really big shirts tucked in. So it looks like it's a billowing shirt, but you can't.
Yeah. Can't hide that.
You can't hide that.
I will say though, as a finale, like a double finale, I actually think this actually started to close itself off really well. I actually think this is a good finale. In the scale of finales. Like if you compare this to Home Improvement, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to keep jumping back to that.
Sick of talking about Home Improvement.
But like there's no clip show. It's just sort of like...
That is very true.
It also brings it back to its roots with the making it more depressing. Like going back to Nouveau Riche, that whole storyline and them in their like dressed up house with their new glitzy.
Still the shitty house, but with like a new oven.
Yeah. And a glass table and like leather chairs.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they would new dishwasher. Spend the money.
Like, yeah.
But it's not, but it doesn't, it's not doing like, it, I mean, there is some fan service, but obviously that's obviously, that's taken away really quickly.
Not a lot.
But not a lot, but it's done subtly. Like just like the things, like there was that moment where they're all sitting down like, oh, this is really nice. Us having the family all together. Darlene's moving back
because she's a young mother. Eating their Chinese food.
In the Chinese food from long something or others.
Some
uncle, uncle.
Some stereotype name like Wang's. Or something.
But it's
always one.
I actually kind of thought that this was actually, and even that post credit scene in the first part of the finale when Johnny Galecki and Jared Galecki,
Jared Galecki's talking with Johnny Galecki
with Darlene.
Jared Padalecki.
Yeah,
Jared. Sam from. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense. I feel like Johnny Galecki would be like a third of the body weight of Jared Galecki.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Padalecki. Sure. Mm. It's too many. Okay. Yeah. I'm getting distracted.
Morgan Galecki.
I really enjoyed that sort of when they're just talking about how living back at the house, like, oh no, look, it's great that we're here. You know, we've got the support of the family. She's like, oh, I don't think they want us here.
I talked to my mom and I got this weird feeling that they don't want us around here for too long.
Maybe they just met you.
Just like little things like that. I thought it was actually really well. Like they were wrapping it up really well.
Yeah, it was a weird, like usually those post-credit scenes are saved for some sort of
like
joke.
No.
Like maybe wasn't quite good enough to put in the middle or something. Like,
I did like that closing monologue, even though we were bagging it out before.
in a specific way.
Yeah,
it's
but
just bizarre.
I really like the part when at the end when she was talking about how, you know, we tried to be good parents. We tried to raise, you know, give our kids a better life, you know, at least 50% better than ours.
And
just describing like, we never hit our kids. We never did this. We weren't perfect. I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was actually that last 10 minutes, I was like really engaged. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, this is not what I expected from this show.
Cause it brought it back. I don't know. Cause obviously we are not traditional fans of the show. We didn't watch it from start to finish, but I'd imagine if you were someone who'd watched it from season one and you got to the start of season nine, you're like, hang on, this isn't the same show really. And then suddenly they're wealthy and I'd imagine a lot of what the first eight seasons would have been about would just have disappeared overnight basically. Like you can't make it about their money struggles and trying to raise their kids properly when they've got all this money to live a lavish lifestyle and, you know,
but then
what's best for the kids.
Would those viewers have stuck around for the ninth season though?
Well,
to get
not.
To the end.
Probably not.
To get to that, like, well, it's actually like this. Like, it's like we're making a commentary on this thing.
Maybe people like that, though.
Because, a bit of escapism.
Yeah, escapism. And, like, the, you know, middle Americans are always, like, living sort of in the hope that...
They'll win the lottery.
Yeah,
well, there's just
basically.
Whole shows that are just like that, really. Like,
yeah.
That are just escapism for schlubs like us.
Can I ask... The gay couple,
yeah.
Of course, the most stereotypical gay couple ever, even, like adopting the Romanian baby.
We're going to San Francisco to pick her up.
Imagine that. We're going to San Francisco and we're going to pick up a girl.
They're never not by themselves. Yeah. There's
always together.
One
always,
in a pastel blue jumper, one in a pastel pink jumper.
Yeah.
Who are they?
I
don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure that it matters.
Yeah, it's the whole...
just friends, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Brother? Maybe? I think they've got some sort of...
Sister hangs around.
They've got some sort of tie to Roseanne's mum, who they really, like, railroad her hard.
Yeah.
You may think I'm crazy, but it is the women's movement that has destroyed the family unit.
Oh, yeah. And she's nuts.
It's like, she's crazy and we fucking hate her.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's the point of her character.
It's like, and the mum was too young to be Roseanne Barr's mother.
Yeah.
It was weird.
She was maybe, like, 10 years older.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon
possibly the same age.
Or she just looks great.
Well, you know, she's a Hollywood actress.
Yeah. But they're just like, no, you're crazy. Like, that's it. And, like, they don't ever give her anything more than... Well, not in the last episode. Not in the last two episodes. They don't give her anything more than that. But, yeah, I think that couple are friends with her somehow. Or something like that. But casting, though, is... fantastic. Like Fred Willard.
Oh, I love Fred Willard.
And
yeah.
The guy who plays Gene Parmesan.
Yeah, I can't remember what he
Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Gene Parmesan. Both those guys turned up and I was like, fuck, I was not expecting this. That was better than the George Clooney cameo.
I really love Fred Willard.
Yeah, he's great.
He's amazing.
Unexpected, yeah. But like,
he kind of plays the... who were we talking about in the last... in Two Broke Girls? the woman who's in a lot of the Fred Willard movies.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge. Yeah. He's like the male Jennifer Coolidge. He just he plays the same character in pretty much everything.
Just really over the top.
Yeah.
In pretty much everything he does.
A bit simple.
Yeah. Mm. Those two characters, though, were just like, this is like such a tip. Like, this is what I thought.
Very
this
shoehorned.
Show, yeah, like this is what I thought this show would describe like two gay characters as.
Yep. Yeah. Like, well, this is what that's what middle America would see two gay characters as. Completely unthreatening and just
pastel shirts.
Overly camp and nice enough to keep around, but you know, you don't really don't get too close to them because
And you don't want to know any details.
No.
They were a lot more subtle with her sister though, Jackie.
Yeah.
Like, why did she make her mum a lesbian and her lesbian sister straight?
She always told me she was gay, but for some reason, I always pictured her with a man.
Yeah, that
what was that about?
I know, it was really odd. Like, just little things like that. Like, I don't know. Is it
because, like, she just doesn't want her sister to be a lesbian? Is that what we're meant to read into that?
I think, I read somewhere that in real life, Roseanne Barr's, both her siblings are gay.
Okay.
And so that was...
Is this semi-autobiographical from her?
Must be.
Yeah.
It was very confusing towards the end. I was like, is this the real Roseanne Barr? Where are we?
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure, but that was really odd. But even, like, adding... Like the thing I still find the fact that she switched the boyfriends of her daughters, that's the one thing I find most
It's bizarre. Weird. It's really weird.
It serves no purpose.
It's fictitious.
Supreme
and it's
matriarchal.
Yeah, she's trying to. It's meant to be her sort of like. I think this book is like it's kind of her therapy for herself about losing her husband.
I would understand if she didn't like one of her sister's boyfriends. Just she'd like in her version replaced him with someone else.
Yeah,
but, died in a car
crash.
Like,
or like one of them's shit. So I'm going to give him to my other daughter.
But her version only starts.
She's shit.
Her version only starts at the end, or is it the whole? Is it the whole show that she's rewriting, or is she just rewriting the last season? Because if the boyfriends were
swapped, then they wouldn't have just been in the last season.
So
yeah, maybe it's the whole show.
Like she's
fuck.
It's her saying the whole show was a reimagining of her life.
Is their fourth child Jerry? Is he real?
Where's Jerry?
Jerry's the baby.
Who's Jerry?
Is he in the last?
Remember, they have a baby called Jerry Garcia after the guy in The Grateful Dead. Named what? After Jerry Garcia. Dan and Roseanne have a fourth child in about season 7 or 8.
Oh, okay. It's not the baby in the last episode.
No, but it's when, you know, when they're all talking to the baby and the sister has the two kids. She says, this is your Uncle Jerry and this is your cousin, whatever.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's pretty late in the game for them, right?
Should have had a vasectomy.
I would have thought he'd kind of given himself a self-vasectomy.
Yeah.
All the drinking, that's pretty amazing
that they could save a child.
Cardiac problems.
Healthy child.
Yeah.
But good on him for still being able to, you know, shoot straight.
Is the house filled with asbestos? That's another thing that I want to know. That's real fucking
almost
dangerous.
Certain.
He
lead
says
paint on the walls. Asbestos in the basement.
Asbestos is only dangerous if it's floating around.
Yeah, well,
if you're doing renovations.
When they send DJ down to the basement with all the asbestos, right?
Yeah.
It's because they hate DJ. They were well aware of the ill effects of
doing.
Asbestos exposure at that point.
Yeah. DJ hardly seems like the...
He doesn't fit in with the rest of the family.
No,
everyone can see it.
That's why they can slowly kill him by putting him in an asbestos infested room.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not exactly the sharpest tool in the shed.
No.
Or DJ.
No.
One thing I will say I was very impressed with is, like, obviously Darlene is... inverted, you know, air quotes here, a tomboy. I'm glad they didn't make her a lesbian because that would have been really also stereotypical.
Yep. It's simplifying.
Yeah. Added some sort of depth to her character. Yeah. You're like,
I was impressed with that.
Regular person.
You kind of could see that going down that
route. I thought that was what they were inching towards in the first episode when they were teasing her about a boy.
And
it was going to come out there, but didn't. On the kids... By like at the start, you can sort of see. Granted, they do change the characters around a bit. There's some similarities with them and their parents. By the time that this is the problem when you cast kids in a show, by the time like 10 years later when they're grown up, they all just look so drastically different.
Yeah,
and so drastically different from their parents. There's just absolutely no way these five people could be related.
Not a million.
It must be a really tough. I wonder if like if you're a casting. Director or whatever, I don't know. Scott, you're in the biz, whatever they're called. Is that close?
You got it. That's close enough.
Yeah.
Could I be? Would there be someone out there called a casting director?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Do you want the job?
Yeah. Sure.
Your face blindness is not going to work.
No, why? Do you think they turn their mind to it when they're casting kids?
Yeah. Like, first of all, like how, the longevity look like.
The longevity of the show and whether or not they look similar to each other and similar to the parents.
I think they.
Or it's just like, oh, you got to. Sort of, you know, mousy brown hair. Yeah,
probably to a degree, but they probably also just, you know, want.
Yeah, more
kids
important
that can
to
act.
Have a good actor.
Yeah,
I guess.
But if at the start, like the casting director and Roseanne had a chat, and she was like, "Doesn't really matter because it's actually just all a book, and I'm just writing it." Yeah. So,
what do you think they knew that?
They could all be different races, and it wouldn't matter.
You think they knew that from the start?
Maybe.
No.
I feel like they tack that on.
Am I saying that Roseanne Barr has more foresight than like Damon Lindelof from Lost? Maybe.
She might.
She's in it for the long haul.
She might have had, this is like a 9-season story arc that she planned out.
Absolutely. She's got she wrote the Bible like first day.
She's some form of genius, really.
That's what I'm saying. That's my speculation.
And her recent tweets, we just don't get it.
No,
we just don't get her genius.
Really high concept humor that we just don't understand.
It's like when what's his name? Went like undercover crazy. Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. That was a great 12 months.
Dispatch it. We're just waiting. We're just waiting for her to come on, I don't know. David Letterman.
Did you guys ever watch that I'm Still Here, Doc? I never saw it. I don't even know if it was good or not.
I just like that it exists.
I love Joaquin.
That's good enough.
Going to be the Joker. I don't know how I feel about that.
Is he?
Yeah. I'm sick of people casting. Just leave it. The Joker's had its run.
You don't have to redo a comic book movie every 10 years. Like, start from scratch.
My biggest comic book issue movie is definitely Spider-Man. There's been way too many reboots in a 10-year period. You just don't need that many.
Four?
Yeah, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man's three or four Spider-Mans ago.
I thought they were
insane.
I thought the Tobey Maguire ones were fine.
Yeah. And then they had the old Hacksaw Ridge guy. What's it?
Garfield.
Garfield. Spider-Man. Yeah. So now there's like a.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Too much.
Too much. I've not seen any of the news, but I'm a Tobey Maguire man.
Can we talk about John Goodman sitting on chairs?
Oh, yes. How annoying is it when he's flipping them around all the time?
He's always moving around, but like the step over?
Yeah.
That's classic.
He's got the Riker.
Yeah. Classic. Commander Captain Riker.
Commander Riker.
Star Trek.
I was very distracted by that, the stepping over the chair.
You are very lucky you didn't watch...
the whole house is a seat for
Star Trek.
Yeah,
is there a lot of that?
There's one character, Commander Riker.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it. You must have had very long legs.
He steps every time he sits down. He steps over the chair like that.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
I'll show you a compilation.
It's unnecessary. It's a bit of a. It's a weird flex.
It's a power play. It's a weird flex.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
No, exactly right. I mean, just sit
maybe
like
it's just he's trying to show off that, you know what? Maybe I'm a little overweight, but I've still got it. I'm still sprightly. I've still light on my feet.
Him trying to impress. I can step over the chair.
Step over the back of the chair. Crush a warm beer.
Just like when I was 20.
Exactly.
But that's like two heart attacks ago now. So,
do you reckon during the show they address the fatness, the obesity much?
I think they poke at it a fair bit, I think.
Well, none of the kids are fat though.
That's true. They're
Which
all pretty
is
slim.
Unrealistic it's in very that unrealistic. Family because...
If they're all eating, like when
they're
he goes to cook
the same
dinner,
food.
Yeah.
It's just like a
all got the same
2-litre can of cream corn and like some Slim Jims.
And then she puts that away and gets out like two, like breadcrumbs. Like, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, I don't know. Just deep fry.
Yeah, the children should have been fat. That's actually criticism that just occurred to me.
Unless like the kids
again
just
casting
watch,
problem.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Unless the kids just watch Roseanne and John Goodman eat, and that's
it's,
pretty
it's
what happens every night.
It's kind of hard to, if you're a director, push kids towards gaining some pounds for the
rest. Who you just cast them when they're already like that?
Already a bit tubby.
You look at their parents when you cast them.
Yeah. Bring your whole family.
It's the inverse of one of my favourite scenes from any movie is in Knocked Up when Alan Tudyk and Catherine Wigg are telling Catherine Heigl that, like, oh, you get a gym membership for being on camera. Just, we can't actually legally tell you to lose weight, but, you know, just tighten. Like, just telling her to get in shape, more in shape. It's like, I would love to see that conversation with the casting director. Like, just, you know.
Loosen up.
Here's just some pancake pile of vouchers.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you do need
some more sugar. Yeah.
I'm just saying it's great for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Exactly.
If you've got a catering department for the show, though, you just load it with shit.
Exactly.
And let the kids go to town. Kids don't have restraint.
No,
if
exactly
they see
right.
a bunch of soft drink, they're just
going to go for it.
Gorge themselves till then.
Exactly. But again, maybe
you got to roll them out of the studio.
Goodman and Barr were just like heading them off at the pass and getting to all the massive food first. But no, that is actually an interesting point. That's probably one casting sort of thing you could step. You
if go, it was going to be a realistic portrayal of a middle class American family, the kids would have been very overweight if the parents were overweight.
Yeah,
it's not like they were eating deep fried Slim Jims and the kids had a kale salad.
No, I don't think there's much kale happening out there.
It was deep fried Slim Jims across the board.
Yeah. I guess we should probably try and reboot this guy.
Let's do it. Can I go first?
Absolutely.
I got a pretty quick one. And it's more of a... I feel like we've had a few games recently on interactive reboots.
Do you like a nice practical reboot?
And so that's what this one is. I'm rebooting it as a drinking game and it's called the Dan's Can Roseanne Plan.
Ooh.
This is where you watch the entirety of Roseanne.
Can I just halt you there?
Yeah.
It's a great name.
Oh, wait, thank you.
Dan's Can
Dan's Can Roseanne Plan.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. So you need to watch all of...
Roseanne?
All of Roseanne.
every single episode?
Every single episode.
As one drinking game?
As one drinking game. Start at the start, you finish at the end. You have to go drink for drink with John Goodman. Oh. Every single time he gets a beer from the fridge, you got to grab a beer.
So it could be three times an episode.
Could be three. Yeah.
So you got to finish your beer before he grabs the next one?
Yeah. I think it's like a high score game. I think you play it.
They have the ability to jump forward in time, which you don't.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Well, you might. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate.
But I think you get your friends around and it's like a high score. It's like you can see how far you can get to go toe-to-toe with John Goodman.
How many episodes in? Bling.
Yeah.
Before you pass out.
So last weekend, we got to season 3 at 4. Fuck.
You must be just 24 hours away. 24 hours straight drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it.
I like that. The Dan's Can Roseanne Plan.
Yeah, so maybe I don't know, one weekend we go do that, and then the next weekend we go out and do what's the Farscape one?
Meth. Basket.
Basket. Yeah. We go do basket.
Basket. Basket's gonna be good. We're gonna do basket one time.
And we all get liver transplants, and it'll be all right.
If Darren Hinch can get one, then so can we.
Yeah, exactly. Darren Hinch is still drinking wine. Didn't he?
Really?
So, yeah. He got savage for it. He defended himself, saying, "You know, I like to enjoy the occasional glass of wine with dinner." So, I don't know.
On some other man's liver.
Exactly. Leave Hinch alone. I'll go next since I've already started talking. So my one is actually, it's a continuation of now, this is a bit of a reboot for Roseanne's career. I feel like, she's, her career's in the toilet, so I'm going to try and get a...
She's done her time.
Yeah, exactly. So now that...
Has she? It's been about a month.
So now that, obviously work's dried up for Roseanne, with everything that's happened, she's had to sort of, diversify her sort of skill set. So she's gotten into dealing cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a reality TV series that follows her around trying to sell cocaine to other stars, and it's called Blowzanne.
Drug dealer of the stars.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you buy cocaine from Roseanne?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably would. Is a competitive
wealthy.
Price.
She'd have good quality cocaine.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
She's not going to die.
No one's stiffing Roseanne.
No.
The ramifications would be... Mm. Nightmarish.
She'll tweet about you.
Mm.
On Ambien.
Not on Ambien.
Will on she Ambien. Also sell you Ambien?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. There's no real... Okay. Nothing's off the table, really.
As a chaser.
It's just called Blowzanne just for the sake of cocaine. But everything's on the table. Opioids, heroin, you name it.
She's got a bum bag full of stuff, or... she that
the bun bags that people wear over their shoulder.
Yep. Okay.
And she's always wearing a ill-fitting cap and just walking around.
Set of Adidas tracks.
Yeah. Just playing. She's got a phone on loudspeaker, listening to music.
Some slip-on Everlast shoes.
Really leaning to all the stereotypes. You get it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it really down. Does. It sounds like a description for the police. Anyway, I like it.
Mm.
I have nothing for you.
No,
this week.
No, okay.
No other reboots.
Blowzanne of the Dan's Can Roseanne Plan.
Well, that's the cream of the crop, I guess.
It's as good as it gets.
That is as
Unless
good as it
you want
gets.
To count the Connors. And it's my reboot where Roseanne dies of a prescription drug overdose.
Shall we move on to our IMDb list?
I think we should. Jeremy, I believe you've taken point on this one. This
yeah, and I look. I struggled to narrow it down to one single list.
Because there are so many...
But I have some themes of list.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So the one I mentioned earlier was the complete Steven Seagal list with 55 different titles. And number 51 was Roseanne. For whatever reason, that's in the list because he appeared on that.
So this is somebody's list of favorite things that Steven Seagal.
It's either favorite or all. I don't know. Has he been in more than 51?
Those are very different things.
Has he been in more than 51 movies? 55 movies?
I'm assuming so. He's got a pretty extensive back catalogue.
Anyway, moving on. The next one was this is not that surprising, but there was a list of 23 different shows that jumped the shark. For those that don't know what Jumping the Shark is, it is it's a term that was coined after the Fonz literally jumped a shark in Happy Days and the show just fell off a cliff after that. So the Roseanne moment is when they win the lottery. That was the jump the shark moment where the show went all downhill, which makes sense.
I mean, yeah, but it's not even real anyway. Fonzie really did jump the shark.
I mean, like they were, like, she did win the lottery, and I feel like they were backtracking for the rest of that season.
Right, okay.
I don't think that it was planned out like
I don't reckon either.
I think that they were trying to reel back, claw back some ratings.
I'm going to try and buy Roseanne's Bible and the story Bible.
The other, actually, there's one more that's kind of an outlier, which is Slick Badat Fool put Roseanne Barr in his top 10 most bangable actresses.
What?
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow. Here we go.
Who else is on the list?
Who else are we got?
So Jessica Alba, number one. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, okay.
Jessica Biel, number two.
Okay.
Number three, Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay. Wow, this guy's got diversity.
Yeah, he does.
Massive, really diversifying.
Yeah.
Four, Roseanne Barr.
Wow.
Five, Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, wow.
Really?
This is just, six, this is just Rosalind, name association at this
Rosalind
point.
Rosalind Sanchez.
What?
I don't know who she is.
This is, no.
And then we've got Sandra Oh, Ellen DeGeneres, Larry King, and James Lipton. What?
Larry King?
No, this is like...
Are you kidding?
There's a very clear...
James Lipton's actually on there.
Yeah, James Lipton's number 10.
There's a very clear connection between all of these. It's like, oh, well, you got Roseanne Barr, so you've got to have Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the talk show host, you've got to do like four. What are they even doing at this point?
Well, Larry King's pretty bangable.
Sandra Oh's pretty bangable.
Yeah, there's a few on there that are legitimate, and a few
that's a bit. Yeah,
they got Jessica Alba. Oh, we gotta have Jessica. Yeah,
Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel.
I must admit, James Lipton's a real curveball for me.
Yeah, that's.
But then so is Larry King, and so is Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know. It's an odd list.
And then the rest, I'll let you draw the link yourselves. So the first one is Shitheads with 850 people on it. The next one is Most Horrible Scummy Humans Currently Wasting Oxygen.
Oh,
242
that's
on that.
Pretty
harsh.
The Unfunny, 35. Yeah. Loathsome Celebs in air quotes.
Oh, loathsome.
Number 12, she made it onto that. This is a list of celebrities I don't like, 16 names. I'm gonna come back and go through that one. And then my least favorite celebrities, which has
they got kinda
31 on it.
Kinda titles as we went on.
So Roseanne Barr appears on all of those lists, and numerous more in IMDb that I didn't open up that were also
of a similar nature.
Similar nature. Mm. The other common thread between all of those lists is Donald Trump. so
that's not surprising.
She's not keeping great company. But let's go back to Mega Gug's list of celebrities I don't like.
Mega
Gug. We'll go through the commentary. So number one, we have Tom Cruise, child abuser.
Oh.
Number two is Charlie Sheen.
Jeremy, just like to state, that's not your claim. That's
No. So this is the commentary. Mega child Gugs. Abuser. No commentary for Charlie Sheen. Number three is Danny Elfman. He had no respect for Hans Zimmer's score for the DCEI, whatever that is. Number four, James Franco. Total douchebag. He ruined my favorite book. No mention of what the book is, but...
fair enough.
He just walked up to him in the street. And
Number five.
The Wind in the Willows is crap.
Harvey Arad. He ruined Spider-Man 3. Otherwise, a great movie. Number six, Chuck Norris. He ruined The Expendables.
What?
This person is just like... They're picking out
just
actors.
Real.
Just real. Yep. Anyway. Yeah. Number seven, Joss Whedon. He ruined Justice League.
But he didn't do Justice League. Joss Whedon didn't have a hand in Justice League. What...
Number eight, I can't help you more. Cause I don't know. Number eight, Cara Delevingne. She just looks like she hates everyone.
Oh.
All right.
Radio.
number nine is Kanye West. He thinks
fair
he's,
enough.
Yeah, he thinks he's better than everyone.
That is true.
That's a, that's a reasonable that's a comment to make.
Fair cop.
Number 10, our boy Tobey Maguire.
Oh, Tobes.
Don't be surprised if sexual abuse allegations about him surface.
What?
Yeah, rough.
That's a pretty...
and then
you can't just kind of throw that out there without any real...
Apparently you can. Oh, number 11 is Kevin Feige, him too. I don't know who Kevin Feige is, but potentially...
Isn't he a director?
12 is Donald Trump. 13 is Roseanne, and she belongs in a mental hospital.
Wow.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Sorry, number 6. Sorry. 14, Gwyneth Paltrow, no commentary.
Oh, she is terrible.
Yeah, we can all agree.
I love the swipes at her. They're very entertaining because she is just...
She's insane.
Completely insane.
She's trying to sell people like snake oil.
She's evil. Yeah. That's harsh.
She's kind of evil.
Yeah. She's
selling people, peddling shit to people that they can't afford. And
she called tampons death sticks.
Not those cigarettes?
Is she also I thought that was cigarettes.
She's anti-vaccination.
I need to go back and rethink Star Wars.
Why is he trying to sell tampons to Ewan McGregor in a space bar?
Yeah,
it's an interesting question.
I don't know.
But no, yeah, did she? I'm sure Gwyneth Paltrow is anti-vaccination.
I'm not sure.
It fits the bill.
She's possibly. All the markers say yes.
There we go. Yeah. So Roseanne is not well liked at the moment. Unsurprisingly.
Funny that.
Most of those lists within the last 12 months.
This one was updated 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. 7 months ago, 1 month ago, 1 month ago, 6 days ago, 3 days ago. Shitheads updated 3 days ago. 850 people on there.
850. That's a lot. Can you give us like just a couple from
the first? So the first one's Donald Trump, Melania Trump, Ivanka Trump, Eric Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and then Stephen K. Bannon.
And then I'm glad they didn't put Little Baron, the 10-year-old, on there.
Ben Carson, yeah, well, you know. Poor,
doesn't have any IMDb Baron, credits, so it's hard to select him.
Well, there's a lot of politicians on here.
Yeah.
Rudy Giuliani.
Why
George
are they
w.
on
Bush,
IMDb? Like, this is
Condoleezza Rice.
Just like start a blog.
I guess they might have just popped up in things.
Rudy Giuliani, I'm pretty sure, was an episode of Seinfeld. The mayor one where the mayor.
Also, he apparently was in anger management.
That would make sense.
Oh.
Yeah, and you know, well, Trump we know, but Ben Carson was in Stuck on You. Mike Pence was in Kaleidoscope. Trump Jr. was in Paul Anka, The Music Man.
What is happening?
Donald Trump was obviously in Ghosts Can't Do It.
Oh, of course.
His most famous role.
One of the classics. All right, well, look, we should probably leave the list there and start wrapping things up. So, final thoughts about Roseanne.
Definitely had some interesting elements to it.
Yeah, for sure.
I can see why people... Would have stayed tuned for it, but I just think the first episode was just like everything was just serving the jokes and like that was it, and like and the jokes weren't that good.
No, this definitely surprised me. I think I've said this throughout this episode, but it surprised me about the quality of it. I thought it was going to be a lot shitter than it was. And granted, as we said, you know, I didn't find it very funny, but I did find it. I did find aspects of it interesting.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, it was easier to last 9 seasons in the 90s because there was less competition. But you still don't get to 9 seasons unless there's a little bit
of substance there. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And it was a different look at a family drama.
It's a very unique show.
Yeah.
I think it's still like to this day very unique.
Well, as you said earlier, like the parents aren't like these. Like you look at like Ty Burrell, the Modern Family parents, like you know, these are just very regular people.
Their issues are so minor.
Yeah,
yeah, they're fallible, but it's also, you know, like a comedic sense.
Yeah,
yeah,
like they're almost caricatures, especially the dad in Modern Family is like, you know.
Yeah, he's not a
the
real
mental
person.
Capacity of a 6-year-old.
Yeah, and that show is crazy popular.
Yeah,
like, so popular. Yeah,
just mad. It's madness.
But no, look, this like I can see the merit in this show and why it was so popular for so long. Definitely not going to go back and watch it.
You don't want to play the Dan's Can Roseanne plan with me?
I might.
Take you now, on head to head.
Let's do it.
I feel like I'm going to get crushed.
Oh, I got you covered. No, it'll be fun. So we're gonna we'll play the dance can Roseanne plan. I'm keen to play that. And you know,
Blozanne. We might hit up Blozanne.
I think Blozanne could be
once we're a few episodes through dance can Roseanne plan.
We'll go speak to Blozanne.
Yeah. We need some substances to keep the party
I like
going.
The theme of just substance abuse based reboots.
They're getting more common.
They're getting way more common.
Yeah, there's one per episode. It's getting a bit much.
Whether you're buying coke off Roseanne or doing coke with Jan Michael Vincent in a helicopter.
Or just, you know, run around Melbourne just drinking as many beers as you possibly can. It's a very common thing.
Mm.
Look, we'll probably tie things off there, I think. Scott, where can people find us online?
You can head to theincompleteseries.com. You can throw us a suggestion for a show that you would like us to watch, or you can even spin your own reboot.
We do love a fan-based reboot. There we go. It came to me.
There it is. Or you can, check out some old episodes. Maybe this is the first one you've heard. Maybe, you want to hear some other shows? Pick out some select choices. Jez, what do you reckon? What's your favourite episode?
I think this one.
Yeah.
All right.
How creative.
Nothing to do with recency bias or anything like that.
I can't imagine.
We've peaked. It's all downhill from here.
Of course.
We've jumped the shark.
All right. Well, matter of time. Look, George, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thanks for having me. If this is your first time listening, do not be put off by my presence. It's only temporary.
But if you are, she will be back. So
yeah, if you're like me, you're in luck.
Cool. Well, anyway, thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
And thank you, George.
Thank you, everyone.